What's happening, people? You're listening to The Introverted Nerd Watches. I am your host, Reese, and I am back for more Fear the Walking Dead. And in this episode, I watched season 4, episode 16, I Lose Myself. Oh, you guys. It was the season finale. And it is my series finale because, like I said, like I've been saying for the last few weeks, I am not covering this show anymore. But I didn't go in to this finale wanting to hate it or wanting to come, you know, here to just shit all over the episode. I was actually hoping for something that would make me want to keep watching. Now, I was always positive that I was not going to be doing the podcast about it anymore, but I was hoping that this episode would excite me about what's going to happen in the future. And unfortunately, this episode was just a big fat meh. Like, just zero direction, and everything seems so pointless and empty. I never felt like there was any real suspense or danger for anybody in this episode. It was just meh. So we'll get into all of it. But first, let me tell you that you should subscribe to the podcast. I'll no longer be covering Fear the Walking Dead, but I do cover some, you know, shows that I'm excited about, like The Gifted. That is a really good show. Comes on Fox. They're mutants, and it's in the world of the X-Men, and the X-Men exist in this universe, and it's a really good show. It's a fun show. It's probably the best version of the X-Men that we have gotten to this point, so everybody should be watching that show. I podcast about that. Black Lightning, another superhero show, is coming back on the CW, so I'm covering that as well. And for Throwback Thursdays, I cover Saved by the Bell every week. So yeah, I have a lot of good stuff going on. I'm really excited about it. So subscribe to the podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast. So just, you know, if you, like me, have an Android, go on over to CastBox or Podcast Addict or, you know, any of those other podcast apps that they have on Android, and just search for The Introverted Nerd Watches and hit that subscribe button. And on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, leave me a 5-star review. Well, specifically on Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts is the one that does the 5-star review. So leave me a 5-star review. You can rate and review the podcast and other places too. So do me that favor. I would really appreciate it. Let's get into Fear the Walking Dead. So I Lose Myself. It's the companion to last week's episode, which was I Lose People. Obviously, you know, this is what Morgan usually says: I lose people, then I lose myself. So now that we have a full season of Morgan on Fear the Walking Dead, I am still wondering, was this crossover really needed? I like Morgan as a character. I'm not sure how I feel about him as the main character in the story. Just a lot of the things that happened with Morgan, a lot of things that happened in the second half of this season felt like a retread of things that we already covered in The Walking Dead. And I can't imagine that anybody watches this show and hasn't seen The Walking Dead already. So it's just, if yeah, it just felt like a whole lot of going over things that we've already been over before. And it was just so tiring, and I can't do this with Morgan anymore. You know, Morgan learns the lesson at the end of this episode that he can't save everybody, and he's not going to, he doesn't have to go back to clear Morgan. And it's like, really, I feel like these are lessons that he should have already learned over on The Walking Dead already. And it's just, I'm no longer interested in Morgan teetering between clear Morgan and, you know, I don't kill people, Morgan. I can't do this with him anymore. So that's Morgan. Everybody else is just sort of like, I don't care. Like, even the characters that I like in Alicia and Strand were sort of just blah to me in this episode. You know, and nobody really did anything. It just felt like a whole episode where nothing really, nothing of importance really happened. We finally get to see Al show a little bit of emotion, but it's all in service of nothing because we still don't know very much about her. Al has been in this show since the beginning of the season. Do we see her in the first episode in the crossover, or I believe it's the first episode when Morgan first crosses over. We see her in that first episode. She has been in this show for this entire season. And it still feels like, I feel like I know more about Sarah and Wendell, who have only been in here on this show in the second half of the season, than I know about Al. So to me, that is just such a waste of a character that could have been really cool and just turned into, you know, a woman screaming about her stupid tapes and her truck. And it's just, it wasn't cool. It wasn't, you know, she stopped being cool and she started being just annoying. And I just don't understand why they didn't develop her character more when they had the chance. I mean, the vultures were not very good villains, and Martha, oh, Martha. Let's talk about Martha for a second, because she's the worst. You know, I was saying on Twitter last night that the actress is very good, and she brought more to this underwritten sort of nothing character than this show deserved. She did what Lenny James did for The Walking Dead a lot of the time, where they would take, you know, bad writing and just sort of nonsense and turn it into something that you could care about. And on Twitter last night, I was saying, like, she's a really good character. She's a really good character. She's a really good actress. It's too bad I don't care about this character, because she's just sort of, it's nonsense. She is nonsense. I was really interested when she first stepped onto the scene, and then the more we found out about her, the less I liked her. And I'm just like, really? You wasted all this time with her? Like, it was this half season started with the hurricane that just went out with a thud and turned into Martha, who went out with just whimpered out. Like, she was a bad character. She was a bad villain, and way too much time was wasted on her. And we started this episode for me in the wrong way. So we start with Al. Al was not dead. They fooled you. If you thought Al was dead, she shows up. You know, she's in the alleyway. Okay. So to me, this felt like a video game. Like this entire episode sort of felt like a video game, kind of like a Fallout or something like that, where people are walking, like where you're walking around and you're sort of collecting supplies. So you're walking around into all of these places, collecting the stuff that you might need and putting them in your bag. And that is basically what Al was doing. So she's walking around. She ends up finding a shotgun, or another radio, because radios are all over the place in this town. Or where are they? Are they in Austin or something like that? Walkie-talkies all over the place, available for everybody. All you have to do is look down and you'll find a walkie-talkie. It's like gold. It's a gold mine of walkie-talkies in Austin. So she finds a walkie-talkie. She also finds a news van, and she finds a new camera, because, you know, that's what Al needs, a fucking camera. So she's on the radio trying to call everybody. The radio works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. It works when it's necessary for it to work for people. And then she runs in to Martha. Martha, who has Jimbo on a leash. Martha, who is unarmed. Unarmed. The only thing she has is Jimbo on a leash. And Al, like I said, has a shotgun. Has a gun. The last time I checked, Jimbo or Martha, not bulletproof. Could take both of them out, probably with one bullet. But no, she lets Martha make her villain speech about how she not even a villain speech. She's not interested in Al. She likes Al because she watched Al's tapes, and she knows that Al went around getting all these people's stories, but she never helped any of them. So Al's good and in the eyes of Martha. And it's like, girl, come on. And so she wants Al to give Morgan a message. And Al, you know, has a lot of big talk, calling Martha a cunt in the letter, constantly calling her a bitch. But when Martha is standing right in front of her, Al doesn't have that same energy. Al doesn't have any energy at all, because Al lets herself, with a gun in her hand, get attacked by Jimbo. And then she lets herself get knocked out. Get the fuck out of here, you guys. Come on. Like, this was just chapter one in the story of the stupid people on this show. I cannot deal with it. She has a gun in her hand. She lets Martha release Jimbo on her like he's a fucking pit bull. He's a zombie. You could take him. You could have just hit him with the gun and then shot her, and it would have taken 20 seconds and this would have all been over. It was ridiculous. She gets attacked by Jimbo, and she, you know, like she's scared or something. She can't possibly bring herself to kill Jimbo, who she knew for 5 seconds. So come on. I don't buy that you were so like traumatized or attached to this guy. Nobody liked him. So let's stop it. None of you liked him. So she gets attacked by Jimbo. She doesn't even kill Jimbo. He falls to the ground, and then Al turns around and gets hit in the head and knocked out by Martha. If I couldn't roll my eyes any harder last night, my eyes would have been like my eyes would have really been stuck in my head if I had rolled my eyes anymore at this. And this is like in the first 10, 15 minutes of the show. So we got a whole 45 minutes of this left. Ugh. It was just so bad. And then, you know, Al is back with the group because that's what Martha wanted. And she sent Al back. She knocks Al out and then records a message and sends Al back to them with her recorded message. And it's a whole message for Morgan, excuse me, about how she's disappointed in him and she'll see him late. It's just a whole stupid thing. And I didn't care. I didn't really pay attention. Morgan decides, because the whole group is finally together, including Al, they're all sitting around a tree and they finally, Sarah and Wendell want to know, like, yo, Momo, can you tell us where Alexandria is now? Like, can you give us, like, can you tell us where we're actually about to go? And Morgan, who is so, like, caught up on Martha, cannot focus on anything else. He tells them he's not going with them. He has to go find Martha. He has to find her alone. So what my dude does is he talks to John Dory, and John Dory, who I love, I still love, but he's not enough to get me to continue to watch the show, but I still love him because he's the only one talking sense, like right here to Morgan, because he and Morgan speak alone, because Morgan keeps watching Martha's taped message that she sent to him, and John goes to talk to Morgan. He's like, I know what you're up to. I know you're going, you know, you think you need to go follow her, but you don't, you know. And he tells him what I've been saying and what everybody who has half a brain has been saying since Morgan started trying to help her. He tells him, yo, you can't help everybody. Sometimes people don't want to be helped. And he's like explaining to Morgan, like, yo, she tried to kill us. She tried to kill you. You can't help her. And Morgan is just not hearing it. He's like, no, she's like me. She just, you know, I just need to give her a chance. I need to go by myself because I understand who she is, because she's exactly the way that I used to be. And it's like, Morgan, you don't know that. He continues to follow the faulty logic of the cheesemaker. The cheesemaker, who is also dead, and the only person he actually helped was Morgan, because his philosophy only works if you're a person that is on their own. And even then, I feel like the cheesemaker logic is really kind of ridiculous, and nobody ever challenges it, is the problem that I have. Like, Morgan could just spout a whole bunch of bullshit and nobody really challenges it. So you kind of think that it's logical, but it's not if you think about it for 2 seconds. But whatever. But Morgan does the stupid thing of John Dury offers to go with him. He says no. And what he does is he leaves at night to find Martha. He walks with his stick, and then he calls Martha on the radio and tells her that he wants to see her. He wants to talk to her. And she's like, yeah, Morgan, I knew you couldn't resist. You had to come. And, she's at mile marker 54 because, you know, it's so significant. And her husband died there, blah, blah, blah. what Morgan does do is he gives John Dory the directions to Alexandria, and he tells them, you know, that they can go without him and that he'll catch up with them. So I guess Morgan is still on this I don't die thing. You know, he still believes that he can't die, or that he's undeserving of death. So he can make plans. Morgan is the only person in the Z-Pac that can make plans for the future, because he believes that his lot in life is to watch everybody die. So 10 years from now, Morgan can still Morgan is the only one that can make plans for his future. Like 10 years down the road, Morgan is be like, I can meet you in, you know, a few years time, and nobody else would be dumb enough to make plans for years down the road. But that's Momo for you. So we catch up with the group. They I guess they're going to Alexandria, or I don't know where they go is back to the truck stop in Mississippi. But while they're there, Alicia Strand and Lucy, who shouldn't be alive right now, but whatever, they all talk. They're looking at a map. They want to decide what they're going to do. So I don't know where they're planning on going. It seems like they weren't planning on going to Alexandria anyway, because they were trying to make other plans, but I don't know. Whatevs. It really doesn't matter, because I need to take 2 seconds or 10 seconds. Just give me a minute to gloat, because I have been saying since Morgan brought up the idea of going back to Alexandria, that he is not going back to Alexandria anytime soon. That nobody on this show was going back to Alexandria this season. That, I've just been saying that it wasn't going to happen. It just felt so empty to me. And in this episode, I was proven right. They are not going to Alexandria. I don't know why this show spent so much time trying to make fans believe that they were going to cross over again, or that they were. And I don't even know that the show made people believe, because okay, what I heard from a lot of other podcasts and just people online saying in general is that they were going to end Fear the Walking Dead and they were going to merge the two shows. And I think that's what people have been expecting. I never expected that. That might be something that they do in the future, but I just never expected this storyline to lead to the merging of the two shows. I never expected that to happen. It just seemed really empty, and it seemed like they were kind of using the popularity of The Walking Dead to sort of tempt people into watching. Like, oh, Morgan is talking about going back to Alexandria. Everybody better watch. You know, the two shows might come together now. They might merge. To try to tempt people into watching the show again. And I don't think that it worked. I certainly didn't buy it. And okay, I'm going to be a little bit humble and say that I am not the only one that thought that it was bullshit, but I don't know why they tried to tease people with this. I really don't. It doesn't make any sense. To me, the better thing to do is to keep these two shows separate. They were way too many allusions to The Walking Dead in this half season than I was comfortable with. I did not like it at all. So anyway, Morgan makes it over to Martha. Martha is on the ground, laying on her husband's grave, and she's still hurt. She's got that the arm, the shoulder wound and everything. And Morgan is trying to talk to her, you know, do you have any weapons? And it's like, he's asking her if she has any weapons. He tries to get her up off the ground, and she keeps screaming, not yet, not yet. And then Morgan does the absolutely ridiculous thing and he kidnaps her. Morgan is so annoying. So he kidnaps her. Morgan, he drives a police car. He has a police car. That's the car that Al found, and he took the police car with him to find to go and get Martha. So he puts her in the back of the police car, and she spends, you know, the next few minutes acting like, you know, a person in the drunk tank. She's in the back kicking the door. She's really weak, though. And Morgan is trying to tempt her. He keeps telling her, you know, I can help you. I can help you. And it's like, my God, how many times did this woman have to say, I don't want your help. I do not want your help, Morgan. You know, she cannot say it any more clearly. He just is, he refuses to listen. And now he's kidnapped her. And I was kind of, at this point, I was like, Martha, just kill him. Kill him. Because I don't know what it is with Morgan. Is it hubris? Is it like, I don't know what it is. He's trying to take on the cheesemaker personality. I don't know how much more clear it can be that she does not want help. You can't help her. And fortunately, Martha is a lot more introspective than Morgan is. Like, she knows exactly who she is. She knows she's a piece of shit. And and she tells Morgan that. And I like that she sort of reads him because he needed it. So he's trying to tempt her with some antibiotics for her shoulder, you know, get rid of the infection. And then he starts trying to talk to her about what's going on, you know, what happened back there. And Martha, who is a good actress, or maybe Morgan is just sort of naive and wants to believe what he wants, but she tells him her story about her husband, how her husband died, how nobody would help them, blah, blah, blah. And so I think Morgan thinks at this moment that he's getting through to her. And it's so obvious that it is not. That a 5-minute talk with Morgan was not going to change this woman. But Morgan is just, he believes what he wants to believe. So while all this is going on with them, while they're driving back to Mississippi, the group is at the truck stop and they start to get sick. Al is the first one to get sick. She almost gets attacked by zombies, but doesn't, of course, because nobody in this episode was ever in any real danger. The sickness comes on really fast. Like, Al 1 second is, you know, seems fine, is talking just fine, is fixing up her truck. And then she steps down off that truck and she suddenly just, she tips over, she can't stand up, she's sweating profusely, and then everybody is sick. They have, it's coming out of both ends. Like, they are ruining that truck stop with their it's just, you know, it's nasty there. Like, after they fuck up everything with their their diarrhea and they're vomiting because, woo. Oh, I can't. It's like, it's 9 of them there. 9 of them in this truck stop. Oh my goodness. So we eventually find out that they've been poisoned with antifreeze. Martha did it. Martha poisoned all of them. She poisoned the water like we saw her doing. She was putting antifreeze in those bottles of water. June is the one that discovers that all of the bottles were opened already, that the seals on the bottles were already cracked. And So they call Morgan and tell him, like, yo, we've been poisoned. You know, we need your help, Morgan. You have to get back here. And Morgan starts speeding down the street. Martha is begging for him to pull over. You know, she wants to get out because he is kidnapping her at this point. And I feel like I need to keep stressing that he is kidnapping her. She doesn't want to be with him, and he is kidnapping her. I'm not a Martha fan, but in this instance, it's like either kill her or let her go. You can't just, like, Morgan can't pretend that he's this good person that is, you know, trying to do the right thing when you're taking this person against her will. She doesn't want to be with you. She doesn't want your help. She has already proven that she's a danger to everybody else. You don't have a jail or anywhere to lock her up to prevent her from being a danger to everybody else. So your only two options are to kill her or let her go. But no, Morgan is doing the Morgan, and he's just taking her along with him. And so while Morgan is speeding along, trying to get back to the group, Martha finally, like, relents, and she tells Morgan, fine, I'll take the antibiotics, just give them to me. And Morgan pulls a rookie move, opens up the divider between, you know, the front and the back, sticks his arm back there to hand her the pills, and Martha does what everybody watching this episode probably knew she was going to do. And she grabs Morgan's arm and she forces him into a pretty serious accident. Oh my God. When Morgan put his arm in the back of that car, I was like, Morgan, what are you doing? You have been in this apocalypse for way too long to be making these. Like, this is not even a rookie mistake. This is like a 5-year-old mistake. Like, only a child would have been fooled into putting their arm in the back with somebody who is so obviously dangerous. Really? Like, that's all I could say last night on Twitter. Like, really, Morgan? Really? You could this? Oh. He's so frustrating. So this is when we get, you know, Morgan is all like messed up from the accident. He like passed out or something like that. He's like flashing in and out of consciousness. Martha, on the other hand, is just fine. And she pulls Morgan out of the car and she writes on his forehead, I lose people, I lose myself. And then she sits and waits for Morgan to regain consciousness. And when he does, she starts, I don't know, is it not quite a villain monologue, but she starts talking to him and she shows him her shoulder where she let a zombie bite her. And she tells him, I made it so you couldn't help me. And now you either have to kill me or wait until I kill you. And, you know, she's really proud of herself in this moment. And Morgan is still for some reason, trying to talk sense into her. You can give Morgan points, I guess, for persistence. But she tells him, like, you knew you came here by yourself. And you knew that I didn't want your help and that I wouldn't accept your help. So, and she tells him, helping people is not about them. It's all about you because you're afraid of becoming what you were before. And she's quoting his tapes back to him. And that's the read I was talking about. Like, this is not about you helping me. is about you trying to prevent yourself from becoming what you were before. And you're afraid that if the people that you care about die, that you'll have nothing else to anchor you to sanity. But if you need people to anchor you to sanity in that way, then you got really deep, serious problems that just can't be helped in the zombie apocalypse. Could have been helped at Alexandria if, what's her name, Denise was still alive, but doctors don't survive long in the Z-Pac. Or at least on this show, on these shows and in the Walking Dead universe, doctors don't survive long. They had a whole ass psychiatrist in Denise and they never used her. Nobody ever used her. It would have been so interesting if somebody in Alexandria actually decided to use a psychiatrist, to talk to a psychiatrist. I mean, just line everybody up and and sit her in a room because those people are crazy as shit. Anyway, back to Fear the Walking Dead. Morgan is disappointed when he sees that she allowed herself to be bitten. And this is when when he finds out that, the group has been poisoned and she did it. So Morgan actually kind of loses it for a second. Almost he chokes her out or almost chokes her out. And then he sees himself in the mirror. He looks at him at his face in the mirror and he stops himself. And then he handcuffs Martha, to the police car and he tells her, you know, I'm not going to kill you, but I'm not going to let you kill anybody else. So, she'll just be there until she turns. And that's basically the end of Martha. Goes out with a whimper, and basically when Morgan walks away, she is sitting handcuffed to the police car, whimpering. Everybody else is at the truck stop, pooping and puking their guts out. And Morgan is trying to get the information to them. He gets the information to them that they've been poisoned with antifreeze. And and so June, who is like the most knowledgeable nurse that there has ever been, because she immediately knows, okay, the antidote to that is ethanol. And because this is a video game and there's no stakes to anything right now, Sarah knows that there is a truck full of ethanol right outside the door, except that the door is surrounded by zombies. Zero stakes. There was zero tension here. I'm like, come on, you guys. There's a truck full of ethanol out there. And I don't even know, like, ethanol is alcohol, but can you just drink it? Like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they were going to do with that ethanol. But you actually, one thing I did like is that you got a hint that they were being poisoned earlier in the episode when they first get to the truck stop and everybody's like brushing their teeth and they make coffee and they use, you know, I guess they use bottles of the water to make the coffee. And Sarah is drinking the coffee and she tastes it and she tells and she says, I told Wendell to cut back on that sugar or to cut back on the sweetener. But she keeps on drinking it anyway. And that was sort of a nice subtle clue that something was wrong with the liquids that they were drinking, because antifreeze is sweet. It used to be like flavorless and it smells sweet and it tastes sweet. It used to be flavorless and odorless, so that, you know, if somebody poured antifreeze and something you were drinking, you would never taste it. You would never be able to tell that there was anything in it. But now that it's sweet, you can, somebody who has been like poison the way that they were would be able to taste it. So I'm guessing they didn't drink the water straight up. It must have just been for the coffee that they drank the water. But we see Al drinking a bottle of water earlier. So I don't know why. Like, I get why Sarah wouldn't be able to recognize that she was being poisoned because the coffee was sweet. But if you're drinking water, first of all, if the seal is broken on the water, you know that there could be something wrong with it. But secondly, if the water you drink tastes sweet and you know that it's just supposed to be plain old water, then maybe there's something wrong with it. Whatever. They make a whole plan to go out to the truck, the ethanol truck or ethanol. I don't know how you pronounce it. The ethanol truck. They're all sort of bent over, but they all get this sort of surge of energy and they go out to the truck. They take out a bunch of the zombies, but there are too many zombies around. Strand and Lucy are at the ethanol truck and Strand can't turn the valve, so they can't open it. But they get so overrun with zombies that Al, who has an endless number of bullets, does what she does in that first episode where she saves John Dory and Morgan. And she tells everybody to get down and she just starts spraying bullets all over the place. And some of the stray bullets hit the ethanol truck. Ethanol starts leaking everywhere. And Strand and Luciana just lay there while ethanol is just dropping to the ground. They have like a container for it that they brought outside to take the ethanol back into the truck stop, but they just lay there on the ground. I get it. They're both sick, but it's like you see them like right before this with enough energy to be taking out zombies, but neither one of them can like crawl their asses over to the ethanol that's leaking out of the truck to to put some in the container. Like, come on, you guys. But they can't do it because we need to have them be... We have to have them almost on death's door. So Morgan is on his way back and he's trying to call them on the radio and they're telling him, like, you know, the ethanol was a bust. We're dying. And and Morgan has the final long conversation, the final long piece of dialogue we have over the walkie-talkie in this season. And he's telling them about how he was just like Martha and he's afraid that he's going to go back there. And John Dory, who's like on his deathbed at this point, has to reassure Morgan that he's a good person and he'll go on to help people. And then we have the cheesiest sort of part of this episode where we sort of pan around to, you know, all the group and they all give like their final words. Like Al records a message. She's like sweating and her voice is going out, but she's like, whoever finds these tapes, keep them safe and make sure they matter. And it's like, girl, just die. I want you to die right now. Strand is laying on the ground. He's like, just when I decided to stop drinking myself to death, I succeed. That was kind of funny. Alicia goes, I thought I'd get a second chance, you know, while looking at Charlie, because apparently helping Charlie is her second chance. And Charlie's like, well, Alicia, at least I saw the beach. And it's like, no, girl, you saw a flooded area. Oh, I hate her. I just hate that kid. I don't like her face. Luciana, who still is alive and exists in this world for some reason, goes back to her talking point that I think this is the only dialogue that she's had, like a different version of this all season. And she says, I thought we get to make up for what we did. And it's like, what did you do? Like, you've been saying that
like she's been saying that a lot, but it's like, what exactly did you do? Are we talking about the vultures? What else happened? The vultures sucked. The vultures were bad, and they got what they deserved. They deserve to die. Come on. Like, who's shedding tears for the vultures? Shut up, Luciana. But all of this, you know, final words talk is for nothing because Morgan shows up. He takes out all the zombies outside, and he comes into June, and everybody's so excited to see him. And he says, ethanol is just a fancy name for alcohol, right? And June, because she's like a fucking genius, tells him, yeah, that's what it is, Morgan. And he's like, good, I made a stop along the way. And it's like, really? Did you really need to come in here and ask for a science lesson about the differences and the similarities between ethanol and alcohol? You could have just brought the goddamn beer in. And where he stopped was at Jimbo's brewery, and he had a truck full of Jimbo's beer. So that saves the day. That's the antidote for everybody, just to drink as much beer as possible until, I don't know, the antifreeze runs through their systems. Like, whatever. Oh, whatever. So we come to the end of this no stakes empty episode, and Morgan goes back to Martha. She's dead, of course. And somehow she pulled her entire arm off. Like, I don't know what this woman did. Like, obviously, as a zombie, she did not pull her arm off. But Morgan comes back, and the only thing left of the car is her her arm handcuffed to, you know, where he left her. And we see Martha walking down the street, and Morgan kills her, buries her under some rocks. And then this is when Wendell and Sarah are like, all right, let's get on the road. Let's go to Alexandria, you guys. And Morgan is like, nope, not gonna happen. You know, I'm not going to Alexandria because I want to follow Polar Bear's example. I want to follow in the footsteps of Polar Bear and help people. Oh, I'm just so glad that this is over for me. So they go to the, you know, denim factory that Polar Bear set up his whole operation in, and Morgan shows them, and he tells them, like, you know, this is what I want to do. Polar Bear had all these plans. Morgan, who never met Polar Bear, doesn't have anything but some journals of his, but okay. Okay, Morgan. So they, you know, Wendell and Sarah are like, yo, this is not the deal we made. We were supposed to be going to Alexandria, but Luciana, who says another version of her season long words, tells them, if you want to make up for what you did to Clayton, this is a good way to start. Why is she still alive? I really don't hate that woman. I don't. Was her name Denai Garcia? You know, she's fine. Why is her character still here? She is just so useless. especially without Nick around, why is she here? But this is what they all decide. You know, Alicia tells Morgan it can't all be about the boxes because, you know, we have to build this place up. You know, that's how we'll help people. And that's what they decide to do. And the end of the episode is basically the group of them in trucks, you know, loaded up with boxes, going around to help people. And the people they're going to help, because Al has had like a change of heart. You know, she saw Martha and whatever. She is now like, she tells them that she has the tapes that she has are people from all around this area who could use help. And so those are the people they're going to help next season, I guess. Like, you know, y'all can tell me about that when next season happens, because your girl will not be there. So that's the end of the episode. They're going to help people. There was no real danger. Nobody died. Everybody learned the lesson that they should have already learned 3 years into the apocalypse, or however long into the apocalypse they are at this point. And Martha was useless. So, the end. And that's all, you guys. I'm just... I mean, I tried. I didn't want to shit all over this episode, but it was a lot of frustrating decisions made by people that didn't need to be made, and just, I didn't enjoy this. So I'm glad this season is over. I gave this show another chance. I will not be coming back. And so that is all. And so what's coming up on the podcast? The Gifted comes on Tuesday, so I'll be live tweeting that. Saved by the Bell on Thursday. My other shows don't start until a little bit later in the month. If you're a Walking Dead fan, Walking Dead comes on next week. The season premiere of The Walking Dead, The Final Days of Rick, starts next week, so... that should be fun. I've been hearing good things about the first, like, reviews for the first few episodes of The Walking Dead have been coming out, and they've been pretty good. So I'm kind of interested in that. I'm not going to podcast about that show, but I do live tweet The Walking Dead every week. So follow me on Twitter. I'm at NerdTravertPod. Use the hashtag NerdyWatch to tweet along with me. On Instagram, I'm at The Introverted Nerd, and like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheIntrovertedNerd. If you want to send me some feedback about Fear the Walking Dead, or just talk to me about anything, send it to TheIntrovertedNerd@gmail.com. And if you want to look at my back catalog, go to theintrovertednerd.com. You'll get all the episodes from Saved by the Bell from the beginning. You'll get this entire season of Fear the Walking Dead, Cloak and Dagger, that show, which is really good. You know, so go there, search. All of this stuff will be in the info box. So just click on the info and you'll see all the links and everything. So until next week, well, not next week for this episode, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast and you'll get me whenever I release an episode. So later, everybody.